Welcome to Eucharist Podcast, where we're exploring what it looks like for a community of disciples to live all of life in reference to Christ. Welcome back to the Eucharist Podcast. Today we're joined by Father Kyle Logan.
Woohoo!
Hey, happy to be here.
Kyle's part of our team here at Eucharist, and we're really excited he's going to join us for this series of discussions.
Yeah. He's a fellow assistant priest at Eucharist, and so, yeah, welcome, Kyle.
Yeah, thanks.
So we're bringing him on, we're bringing in the big guns, because we are about to start our discussion of a book that I think is really close to all of us. And this is the book that we've alluded to that's been veiled in mystery, but this
drum roll.
We are going to be going through For the Life of the World by Father Alexander Schmemann. And so this is a book that I think all three of us, even before we met each other, had interacted with, and it played a pretty significant role in our life, or was very inspiring. Is that correct?
Oh, man, it's been huge for me. It was, the book is like a small little book. I don't know, what is it, 120 pages or 150 pages, I guess. But it has, for me, when I encountered this book, it was like a light went on for me. Mm-hmm. I was on my journey into Anglicanism, really a larger journey of just discovering the great tradition of the church. And I was trying to put the pieces together about what does it mean, what is the term sacrament, and what does sacramental really actually mean? And when I encountered this book, it literally feels like a light went on for me. So It's been huge for my journey.
So Kyle, when did you read this book or first encounter it?
I first encountered this book after Ryan asked or told me about it.
okay.
And ironically, I bought the book because Ryan, if you know anything about Ryan, he recommends a lot of books.
What a nerd.
So, yeah, what a nerd. But This one I actually got around to reading, and because I think we were having a conversation about the Eucharist.
You were
and
also...
And some of the things I was saying, you were like, you need to read Alexander Schmemann.
You were also watching the series by Michael Pollan called Cooked.
Yes.
And and like that series has so much intersection with the content of this book in the first couple chapters too. So we were like, whoa.
Yeah, so Ryan recommends books. I recommend movies.
But,
and speaking of Cooked, Michael Pollan, Netflix, go watch it.
Really good.
Good stuff.
Yeah, for me, this was actually interesting. This was given to me as kind of, when I was over in Asia and kind of having my liturgical journey and my journey to Anglicanism, I had a mentor who was a priest in the South, and he gave me kind of a reading list, because I was, you know, a Baptist missionary at the time, and he gave me this book, For the Life of the World. He gave me, I think, The Spirit of the Liturgy, or The Liturgy by Pope Benedict, or former Pope Benedict, and then Smells and Bells by
Mark Galli.
Yeah. And he had me read those three books, one by an Anglican, one by a Roman Catholic, and one by an Orthodox priest. To see if I really resonated with truly sacramental theology and saw that it was actually that stream of connection between these three traditions, or if I was just merely a Baptist that liked, you know, liturgy or liked some of the aspects, but not more the external aspects of the liturgy, or if I really was connecting with this deeper sacramental view of the world.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, I guess I did, because now I'm a priest myself.
Yeah. This book is disarming in some ways, because you look at it, again, it looks so small, and you're like, oh, it could be in there. And then it's by an author that, unless you're in theological circles, you've probably never heard of Alexander Schmemann. Like, I hadn't. I'd actually gone to seminary. I never heard about him even at seminary. But once you see his name and you've read this, you see him everywhere, because people are quoting him all the time in the footnotes of stuff. And so, yeah, I think it's – and I love this book because – it's got brilliant ideas in it, but he puts them, he takes the cookies and puts them on the lower shelf. You can actually get this and read it. It's not like easy reading, but it's not really, really, really challenging, you know?
Yeah, but I think he doesn't put the cookies on the lower shelf in a condescending or like simplified way, but more of a distilled way.
Yeah.
You know, so instead of simplification, it's distillation.
Yeah.
You know, so it's taking something that's huge and making it more distilled and potent.
And accessible.
And accessible instead of just like, well, you know, let me just give you some crumbs, you know?
Yeah.
No, he gives a full-blown meal on every single page. I remember when I was reading through it, it was every other page I just had to put the book down. and just sit and reflect because I couldn't go any further.
Yeah.
Where some, like some of these more technical books, I feel like you have to read 30, 40 pages to follow the argument and find, to get that nugget of truth.
Yeah.
But with this book, there's nuggets on every single page. It's unreal.
Yeah. And if I just grabbed Ryan's copy of this book, and his copy looks very similar to mine. It's basically, I mean, let me see
yours. I don't underline nearly as much as you guys do, but
well, Ryan's an underliner. I'm an underliner and a highlighter, and I think all of our books, like basically, we could probably underline or highlight the entire thing. And it's actually a struggle going, oh shoot, that's good, but how do I weigh this awesome phrase with what he says over here? It's kind of almost like a coloring book, and it's a theological book and a coloring book all in one.
Yeah, I've reread parts of this book multiple times now, and just reread the entire book again in the late fall. And as we were thinking about this year of sacramental living that we're entering into, that we're in right now here for our church, we thought this would be by far and away the best companion book to that journey. Mm-hmm. And I really hope that this year, as we wrestle with the meaning and the content of what's in this book and what it means to live a sacramental life, that the light goes on for a lot of people. And it just mm-hmm. feels like, wow, this is amazing. It's like this whole storage bin of like jewels has been under our bed and we didn't even know it was there. Like there's a treasure chest there, mm-hmm. you know? And so I think that as people read this, as they get into the discussions about it, and as we really begin to live it more than anything, that something will happen to our community and our individual lives.
Yeah, I think a difference between this book and what we did with The Patient Ferment, I think The Patient Ferment was very stimulating. It had a lot of application for our community in certain mm-hmm. areas, you know? And I think it was kind of a good building up in certain areas of our community. But for me, this book seems like going back to the very foundation and kind of building a shared cognitive and theological vision as a community. So it's very foundational, and we're not going to just go through a chapter a week and you know, get a couple other cool books this year. I think pretty much this is going to be like you said, it's a companion book. It's going to be something that we're going to go through in depth and return to, and it's going to be kind of part of our vocabulary and our vision, I think, in the coming year.
One way to say what you just said in a slightly different way would be to say that the Patient Ferment book was like background resource material. And this book is much more meta. It's like you live it out. You have to like, you see everything through it. Yeah. And I think that's why I'm excited about us kind of plodding slowly through it and chewing on it. And, you know. Yeah.
And also just the way he brings it about, like it's really all encompassing, not only of our life in the church, but also just life in general. Like there's not much in any of our lives that this book doesn't have implications for.
Yeah, no, it covers everything. Yeah, I mean, he doesn't cover every area, but it has, like I was saying, it's meta to everything else. So let me give you a brief overview of where he's going here, and then we should say something about who Father Alexander Schmemann is, so we'll come back to that. So basically, this book had an older title of, I think it was called Orthodoxy and Sacraments, or Sacraments and Orthodoxy. This is a reprint. It was actually first printed in the early 60s, and then it's been gone through multiple reprints, and actually is translated into 11 languages around the world. So he takes and he gives like a view of what is a sacramental vision of life in the first chapter. Then the second chapter, he goes into the meaning of Holy Communion or Eucharist and liturgy, how those work together. Then he talks about the sacramentality of time and how the church has always gone on a journey with time and how we tell time and feasting and fasting and things like that. Then he gets into the sacrament of baptism and chrismation, or as we call it often in the West, confirmation. And he explores the meaning of penance and things like that as well. In the fifth chapter, he talks about marriage and singleness and and love and how that fits in all this. Sixth chapter is about death and resurrection and healing and martyrdom and suffering, all in the context of what does that mean in a secularism, the secularism that we live in and the materialistic age we live in. And then in the seventh chapter, he unpacks the meaning of mission. What is this? What implications does all this have to being on mission together? And he offers a kind of resistance to a simplified religious answer that is typical, which is interesting. Then there's two appendices in this book that are articles he wrote later that got attached to the book. And one is called Worship in a Secular Age, which is his take on secularism and worship. And then the last, second one is called sacrament and symbol, and it's kind of the question, more technical, what is a sacrament, mm-hmm. and how do we talk about that? So that's kind of the overview. But what I'll tell you is that little overview doesn't even begin to touch what he goes into. There's so many interesting things he touches on that have implications that we'll explore. So mm-hmm. we're going to spend our time, again, kind of plodding through this.
So what I'd love to hear from both of you guys, what's one of your hopes of, as we journey together as a staff and as a parish and as a podcast community, what are some things that you're hoping this book will really, like, one thing that you're really hoping that we will get from this book, how we will be formed maybe by it? Kyle, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, one thing that I really love about this book is that it looks at culture through the lens of liturgy and Eucharist and sacraments.
Mm.
The tagline of our church, all of reference and life to Christ.
That would be all of life in reference to Christ.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's rewind that.
Okay.
All of life in reference to Christ is our tagline. And this book puts it in that prism. And it does it so well because he doesn't ignore culture or secularism. He looks at secularism through the filter of Christianity and says, why is secularism wrong and why is Christianity correct?
Mm-hmm.
And he does it so well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think one of the things I think we've talked about, maybe even as a staff, that I remember really resonating with was how this has changed and it is changing, like, our whole theology and experience with food.
Oh, and I love food.
Yeah. But yeah, and that's actually one of the first chapters it gets into, yeah. like, the theological nature of food. And yeah. and it's just, oh, man.
And I think that's how Ryan put me on it, because I was talking about, like, the sharing of a meal and cooking in a very sacramental light after watching Cooked on Netflix.
You felt, yeah, there's this, yeah. this intuitional connection there.
Yeah, I have a very high view of sharing a meal with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And in the same way, Schmemann takes Feuerbach, or I'm not entirely sure how to pronounce the philosopher's name, who said you are what you eat, which is a poke at Christianity in the negative way. And Schmemann was like, no, this guy's totally right.
Mm.
Like, we are what we eat, and we eat Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I had similar interaction with the book with this aspect, and actually you helped me see a lot of this. Was it gave vocabulary and theological robustness or a framework for some of these things that I think many of us are kind of intuitively feeling, like, man, like, there's something special about breaking bread with each other, or there's something not just pragmatic about baking bread or making something. There's something just so much deeper than that we'd lack language for because we live in such a secularized, desacramental or unsacramental world. Mm-hmm. So what about with you, Ryan? Is there...
Yeah, I think similar to what Kyle said, we talk a lot about this notion, our motto of all of life in reference to Christ. And the question is, okay, how? And I like that Father Alexander Schmemann doesn't fall back on more techniques or more strategies. He has a much more beautiful and compelling answer to that question. And my hope is that people will read this book and go through this year of sacramental living and come out with a kind of sparkle in their eye. Like, there's more mystery to life than we realize. There's more beauty and more goodness and more meaning and purpose to everything that you do. And so that means that the spirituality that we inhabit, that the Christian faith that we embody, is not relegated to what happens on Sunday morning or what happens in a private prayer time or worship time. It encompasses all of life.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way that can happen, I believe, is through this sacramental lens. And so mm-hmm. if we really get that as a church, it's going to have pretty dramatic impact on our community life together mm-hmm. and our own formation individually. And so mm-hmm. I know that's a pretty big hope. I'm building it yeah. up pretty big, but I think I don't know if there's anything bigger than this.
So for some of our listeners who might not be familiar with sacramental theology or that word sacraments, what would be your elevator definition of that? Someone asks you really quickly, you need to give a quick answer. Sacramental?
Well, I think he'll explore that in the whole first chapter, so we'll do at least one episode on that. But he has this, for me, it's been the most helpful image has been the image that he gave me in the first chapter here of seeing materiality, seeing creation as transparent to the glory of God. So oftentimes when we look at, we think about the world, we see it as an end in itself. And when we can see, when we see sacramentally, we see through the materiality. Not that it's not there, it's there and it's very important, but we see through it, and behind it we see God and his glory. And so mm-hmm. everything can be done through the creation to the glory yeah. of God. And that's sacramental. Now, sacrament proper is something else. It's a little more technical, and yeah. they're directly related. And always at the source of whenever you want to talk about a sacrament, the source of all sacrament is Jesus Christ himself. He mm-hmm. is the, in his incarnation, is the ultimate sacrament. Yeah. And so all this will all come back to being Christ-centered.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan, that reminds me a little bit of that I think an English poet, Gerard Manley Hopkins. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He has that quote. How does it go? All of creation is charged with the grandeur of God.
Yeah, the world is charged with the grandeur of God.
Yeah, and just this whole idea, because I think in the West we are so material, and there's such a dichotomy between spiritual or transcendent and physical. And I think for me, the thing that meant so much about this book was I read it when I was living in Asia and struggling. Like, my worldview was changing because I started to see how much those around me in Thailand and China, how much stock they put in the physical world, and how much there wasn't a dichotomy between spiritual and physical. It was, things were much more embodied. Mm-hmm. And I did not grow up in a culture like that. Our, mm-hmm. our secularized West has such a big dichotomy between those two. I was like, there's something going on, and I think there's something good here, but also it's not being properly used. You know, there's a sacramental view of life, but it's not lived in reference to Christ, but in reference to greed or to spirits or other obfuscations of the truth, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, this book, I'm really excited. My hope is that I would continue to have my mind, my worldview transformed to be more sacramental. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I think most of the cultures of the world have always had somewhat of a sacramental view of reality. I think we're the exceptions in history.
Yeah, yeah. So before we end this episode, we should talk for a moment about who is Father Alexander Schmemann. So Joshua, why don't you tell us briefly a little overview? There's a little summary you have about him.
Yeah, no, Alexander Schmemann, I'm a fanboy of this guy. He is a very unique figure because he was the dean of St. Vladimir's Orthodox Seminary, which is like the premier Orthodox seminary in America, or one mm-hmm. of them. He was a priest, a practicing priest.
He was called a proto-presbyter, which is the highest honor that the Eastern Church gives to a married priest.
Yeah, because in the East, you can't be a bishop if you're married. And mm-hmm. so he was basically just shy of a bishop.
Right.
But the thing is, he was extremely pastoral. Mm. And although he wrote lots of books, was a teacher, he had this kind of torn relationship with formal education because he thought that sometimes it's a misdirect because there's so much more than just content. And so in this book and others, he really gets at the heart of theology. Theology is not something that's merely assigned to classrooms, but something that has to be lived and embodied. And so this book is kind of almost his manifesto for all the rest of his theological works that will follow.
Yeah. So he's born in Estonia in 1921. He does his studies in France in the mid-40s, and then he eventually emigrates to the U.S. where he teaches. And then he dies in 1983. So unfortunately, his life wasn't as long as we would like, but he has had a significant impact.
And he's a quite prolific writer. I mean, he has over a dozen of books that are all very high quality. But yeah. I think this is my favorite of his so far.
It's like, his most popular.
Yeah.
Yeah, by far.
Wonderful. Well, thank you guys for joining us. Thank you for listening to our, I guess, teaser introductory episode about For the Life of the World by Father Alexander Schmemann. Stay tuned for more episodes where we explore this together.